It is truly a wonder that God has given us His Word and so much of it. We can never really get enough of it. And so let's look again at what God would teach us today. Now, we've gotten down to Jeremiah 23, and we came to verse 14. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, they strengthen the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Now, we have spent a little time with this verse, and finally we got to this fact of the inhabitants of Sodom. And then remember, in our last study, we turned to Ezekiel chapter 16. And first of all, we know he's talking to the local congregations, because in verse 3, let's begin with verse 1, with Ezekiel 16. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, that is to Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem. Okay, so it's, again, it's talking about the local congregations who were typified by Jerusalem. They were, precisely to be looked at in the same way that we're looking at the book of Jeremiah. It's very significant, you know, as we go on. I want to spend a little bit more time in Ezekiel 16 now that we're talking about these three sisters. And that's a spiritual meaning, simply they are totally of one family. They're totally of one family. And the three emphasizes it is God's purpose that they are of one family. God is it's just not accidental. It just happens to be that they're all, that the names Samaria and Sodom, or Israel and Sodom and Judah and Jerusalem, they all are one. They all are one. They all have one mother. And then he goes on in verse 53. Now, there we come to a verse that I have puzzled about a whole lot. I remember years ago, I struggled with this phrase, I bring again their captivity. I will return the captivity. And at that time, I remember I concluded, with my knowledge of the Bible in that day, I concluded that wherever you see, I will return the captivity, it's a clue phrase that, again, there will be salvation. There will be salvation. If we turn, for example, to Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 47. Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord, thus far as the judgment of Moab. And as near as I can tell, that is whatever Moab represents, and I don't want to get into that right now, that it is possible that they will, what they represent spiritually, they will return, there will be salvation again. Or again, when we read in verse 6 of Jeremiah 49, afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. And then, you know, right after that in verse 7, it says concerning Edom. And it, when it talks about Edom or Esau, or any names that relate to Edom, and which are a direct picture of the local congregations, God never says, I will return the captivity of Edom. That just doesn't appear in the Bible anywhere. But when we get to Ezekiel 16, however, he is talking about Edom in a sense. He doesn't use the word Edom, but he is talking about the local congregations. And he says here, I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, the captivity of Samaria and her daughters. Then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives, that is Jerusalem, in the midst of them. God is still tying them together as one entity, Sodom, Samaria, Jerusalem as one entity. He is emphasizing how intensely related the affairs of Israel as they were destroyed in the year 709 BC, the affairs of Judah as they were destroyed in 587 BC, the affairs of Sodom when they were destroyed in 2068 BC, tie in with the local congregations. Incidentally, do you remember in Luke chapter 17, God again ties it all together that way, Sodom into this, as he says in verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and a flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, and you know as the destruction of the world in the days of Noah, we know other places, ties in as a picture of the destruction of the world on the last day. Likewise, also it was, also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And so again, you see how God has tied Sodom in. That Sodom is a picture of the local congregations that come into judgment. In fact, in verse 32 of Luke 17, he's very direct. He says, remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? And where do you stand as you are? And the whole chapter of Luke 17 is talking about Judgment Day. All right, now, but then in Ezekiel 16, going back to there, we see this phrase, verse 53, I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, the captivity of Samaria and her daughters. Then will I bring again the captivity in the midst of them. And we say, well, now, wait a minute. Historically, of course, it can't be talking about literal Sodom. They've been wiped off the face of the earth. They have not existed after the year 2068 BC. So God can never have them again become a body of believers. But we've already decided that Sodom is involved in the fact that they are a picture, or they do represent the church age. And so what is he saying here? I will bring again the captivity. Is there still a hope for the local congregations is the big question. Is there a hope that somehow, before we finally get to the end, they will turn and cry to God for mercy? Is that what this is teaching? Well, now we find that we have to be more careful as we look at language in the Bible. To return the captivity also has to be read in its context, because notice, it says, I will return the captivity, reading verse 53 again, I will return the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters. Then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done. That doesn't sound like salvation, doesn't it? That talks about the fact that their shame is still going to be there. And then it says, verse 55, when thy sister Sodom and her daughter shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughter shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughter shall return to your former estate. In other words, now God is saying of Samaria, of Jerusalem, of Sodom. Remember the three sisters that represent the local congregations? You will return to your former estate. I will return the captivity. Now, what was their former estate? Twice in this chapter, God has told us what their former situation or where they came from. That is, remember we read in Ezekiel 16, verse 3, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. Remember, that was repeated again in verse 45. Remember, these are three sisters. They all have the same mother. They're all the same family. When he talks about one, he's talking about all three, because they're all focused on the local congregations. In verse 45, your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. And so what is the former estate of the local congregations? Total wickedness, total rebellion. Totally outside of the kingdom of God, completely out of. And so when God is using this formula, I will return the captivity, here he defines it as being returned to your former estate, which that is your mother was an Amorite, a Hittite, your father was an Amorite. That is, you are back down in a situation as if you never heard the gospel. You are in total rebellion against God. And that's why it talks about in verse 54 that thou mayest bear thine own shame. We go on for verse 56 of Ezekiel 16, for thy sister Sodom was not mentioned in thy mouth in the day of thy pride. Incidentally, you know, notice that throughout the church age, Sodom has always been spoken about. Oh, that wicked city, that wicked city. Well, but look at us. We're miles and miles and miles away from that kind of wickedness. In your pride, you didn't mention the city of Sodom as anything good. But the fact is that you were worse than Sodom, and God is calling you Sodom, as we saw in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, as we saw in Revelation 11, verse 8, and so on. You are Sodom, and yet finally, we have to finish this chapter, and then we'll get back into Jeremiah. But we read in verse 59, for thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant, that is, in breaking the law of God. And now he's described all of this. I'm going to wipe you out. You're back to nothing. Nevertheless, now we have to deal with this verse. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thine younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant, not by your kind of laws. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord. And I believe we have to understand this, that in spite of everything that God has said, in this ugly language of Ezekiel chapter 16, which tied back into the other verses that we found about Sodom, God's elective program still stands. God's elective program still stands. While he is talking about the church age as an external representation of the kingdom of God within Sodom, within Samaria, within Judah, Jerusalem, which is all one and the same ultimately. There is a remnant that will come out. God will not destroy his covenant, his oath that he took, that those who are the elect will become saved. But it's by God's law, not by the church's law, not because of what they have done, not because they have succeeded in any way with their do-it-yourself religion, but it's totally by what God has done. And this will happen when God is pacified, or is, and it's actually a word that means atoned, when God has atoned toward thee for all that thou hast done. Now, we say, well, but again, emphasizes that maybe there's something there for the whole church. No, how is God pacified? How are they atoned for insofar as the unsaved in the churches? By the fact that they come under God's judgment. God is appeased. That word can be also translated appeased. God is appeased only when his righteousness is vindicated, when his justice is done. And therefore, this is a hidden phrase, I believe, that is saying effectively that at the time that there still is a remnant that will come out of the local congregations, which has been going on, of course, in our day, it is also a time that God is appeasing himself over against the sins of the local congregations, and the appeasement, pacification of this whole situation will be completed, that all of the true believers, the remnant chosen by grace, will come into the body of, or will come into heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have gone over Ezekiel 16 fairly rapidly. It's a very complex chapter, a very difficult chapter, and yet I believe we've caught the sense of what God is teaching here. To summarize, it simply means that when we read about Sodom, when we read about Samaria or Israel, when we read about Jerusalem in the Old Testament and God's wrath upon them, ultimately he is pointing to the church age. And except for that remnant that comes out, God will appease the whole situation, God will complete the whole situation by bringing judgment upon the local congregations, and there is no hope for them as a body of people. There is no hope for them as a divine organization that God had designed them to be. They are through. They're done. It will never happen that anything good will come from that. Now let's go back to Jeremiah 23. And so we ended up with verse 14, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. And in fact, you know, as a proof of everything we've been saying, has there been any hope for Sodom and Gomorrah? Is there any possibility that they could ever turn as a literal city? Before we even get into the spiritual meaning of that, there is none. But there was a tiny remnant that did come out. Who was the remnant? Lot and his two daughters. Just three people. Three people. Isn't it interesting? Three people. Again, that number of purpose. It was God's purpose. Yes, even though Sodom is wiped out, It can never have the possibility of salvation again. It is The destruction of Sodom was a picture of eternal damnation, yet God's elective purposes stood, and three people came out, Lot and his two daughters, which typified all those who have come out of the local congregations or are coming out because they are the elect of God. Now let's go on to verse 15 of Jeremiah 23. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Wormwood and gall are symbols for that which is poisonous, that which will kill. It reminds us of 2 Thessalonians 2, I will give them a strong delusion. And remember that as we look at the local congregations, they are under a hermeneutic, a method of Bible interpretation, which they will not give up. They will not give up. It's man-made. It's totally contrary to the Word of God, and yet it is keeping them in complete blindness about all of this. This picture of wormwood is picked up in Revelation chapter 8, in Revelation chapter 8, where God says in verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were bitter. And again, the third part is those who were God's people. The third part normally is emphasizing those who have become saved. But this third part, they externally look like God's people, but they are under their judgment of God. That is, they are coming out of they're part of the local congregations, which externally looks like the kingdom of God, but they are under the judgment of God, and they're being fed with poison. That is, with the God has given them a strong delusion, so that they are, if there was any suspicion that they were not dead, they're going to be dead now. It kind of reminds us of David when he killed Goliath. The stone hit him in Goliath in the forehead. He fell to the ground, and then to make sure he was dead, he took the Goliath sword and cut off his head. But anyway. That is as far as we can get in this study. Until our next program, may the Lord bless you.